Your next appointment is dinner, right?
That's it. Yeah, we're fine, man. It's all good.
Perfect.
Julie.
Yes, Tommy. Okay. I...
Whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Brought to you by Rock Antenna, Germany's number one rock radio station.
Hi to all our Rock Antenna listeners. I'm Julie and I'm here with the great Tommy Henriksen. Finally meeting him in person because we're actually Instagram baddies.
Yes, we are. We are Instagram friends. Yes.
So I know everything.
Which is cool.
I know everything that you do and that you eat. No.
Well, pretty much. You know, I'm like one of those guys. I'm an open book. You know what I mean? I talk to kids every night. We do these live things so everyone could see what's going on backstage. Because when I was a kid, I was always like going, man, I wonder what those guys are doing back there. And also I was like, when I show these kids what we're doing nothing. Stupid, just like stupid shit, you know.
That's true.
Can I curse or no curse?
No, of course you can curse.
All right, sorry, I'll keep it down.
Of course, no, do it. Like fucking cunt, whatever. You can say everything. You can say everything, Tommy. It's fine.
Sometimes it slips.
We're
out,
a rock
though.
Radio station. Right, it's okay.
Sometimes it slips. So okay, I'm good.
It's all good. All good. Well, you're here right now with Alice.
Yep, we're on tour with Alice Cooper right now with Doro Pesh, my old boss, who is on tour with us, opened up the shows, which is amazing. And it's been nothing but, I haven't seen, you're talking like 30-something years ago, I was in a band with Doro Pesh, so it's been amazing. She's Doro, to me, she is the ultimate queen of heavy metal. She's never changed. She's still the same person. She's sweet as can be. She's gentle. She loves the fans. But I look at her, and I go, I tell her every night, I go, Doro, I fucking love you.
That's so cool. Cute, because really cool. She's got a show here on our station.
Oh, she does? Awesome.
She's got her own radio show, and she had hers actually yesterday.
Really?
And she talked about you. Yeah.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Oh, Tommy.
Yeah. I got Tommy, and I love. He's so nice, and he's really cool.
Yeah, that's just how adorable
cool.
It is. Yeah, that's
very
really
cool.
Nice. And she talked about you and saying, like, that you used to play bass for her.
Yes, I still play bass. Yep.
Yeah. Now you're with Alice Cooper, and she was like, oh, that's so cool. Like, we're all one big family, and we meet each other all the time. And
you know, it's really cool, because when you're at these, the one thing I love about doing the festivals, Julie, is that you get to see people. And even on tour, which I love, you get to meet people, and a lot of people you become friends with, you know what I mean, or acquaintances, whatever you want to call it, and you keep in touch with them. And I've known kids since I've been Alice Cooper. They were like 12 years old, now they're all in their 20s and stuff. And with Doro, seeing her and the band, it's always cool, because it's like you look forward to going, oh, man, I hope I can go say hello. And it's good. It's cool for me. I love it. I'm still a fan. So
yeah. Actually, that's what I was thinking, because every time I see her stuff on Instagram, it's like you're so close to your fans. It's like, it's so nice. Like, you've got, there's all these great fan pages, and everybody is like, yeah, not only the artists are one big family, but also the fans for Tommy Henriksen, whatever you do.
So we call them the misfits of the universe, because we're all misfits, man. We're all broken in some way. And I always tell them, you know what? You're all safe in this place right here. You know, I don't judge anyone. Doesn't matter who you are, what size you are, what you do. I don't care, as long as you just do the right thing, you know. Because, you know, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world. And if you could be a positive role model, or just like someone who they can communicate with. Because I'm real. I don't sugarcoat shit. When they fucking stuff say, I'm like, listen, man, world sucks. Get over it. You got to fucking take it on the chin. And sorry you weren't born rich. I wasn't born Elon Musk's kid. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. God doesn't love me, you know? So like the rest of us, we got to work and do stuff. Yeah. And that's just the way it is, you know?
Yeah. And you do work a lot. Like, not only with Alice Cooper, because look at my cool stuff. I'm a radio DJ. I know how to swoon into the next...
You're going to
next subject. Yep. You do a lot of stuff. You're with the Hollywood Vampires as well. Johnny Depp.
It's the best.
The best,
And Joe Perry. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. And the band,
love,
too.
Love.
Yes. Tell you right now, man, it's like you get around that guy and he will Johnny Depp-tize you. It's like, you're like, oh my God, he just Depp-tized me. Because he's got this thing, dude. It's not being baptized, but it's like he Depp-tizes people.
Nice!
Or, you know, it's like this thing where you go, God damn, God loves Johnny Depp. You know? And it's amazing because he's exactly the way you'd think he'd be.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
He really is. He's a humble, talented, so talented. Like the artwork, that was just, I kept on telling him, dude, you got to do the art, man. That's the next step, you know. And there's all these steps that he's been taking, and he's just making all the right decisions right now. So it's great.
You sound like a great friend, by the way. Like, you talk all the nice stuff about all the people you love, and I love that.
So, I'm real with him, too.
Yeah.
I'm real with him, dude. The other thing, I don't ask him for nothing. I always tell him, you know, I'm here for you. I'm a real friend. I don't need any your money. I don't need nothing. Mm. I'm here to do stuff. We work a lot together, and we write some great stuff together, and I have a great time. I have a great time hanging out with him. It's fun. And I get to play with Joe Perry and hang out with Joe Perry and write songs with him, too, which is like...
That's amazing.
I mean, dude, yeah. I get to stand next to Joe Perry on stage. Sometimes I'm like going, man, it's Joe Perry. You know, it's like sometimes, you know, because I was a kid watching Joe Perry, you know, at Nassau Coliseum when I was an Aerosmith freak, which I still am, you know, buying a ticket for like $7, which is like probably like €3. I don't even know. And watching Joe every tour, man, and getting to know Joe and being in a band with him is like, you have no idea how grateful I am for all of these moments that come along, you know, because it's like I always say the universe... Not to be a hippie, but I really do. The universe is this thing where it's like it puts stuff in your way and you got to figure out a way around it, and it's going to throw you a left turn or a right, and you just got to figure out the turns, and then you're supposed to be where you are, you know? And I feel like I'm supposed to be where I am.
Aw. You know? Here in Munich with Alice and... I'm going to step right into the next topic.
Do it, man.
I'm going to do it. Like, okay, you're going to do another cool thing. It's called Crossbone Scully is your newest project.
Yes.
Tell me more about Crossbone. First of all, great name. Okay.
that stuff is sometimes, I tell you, man, it's the universe where it drops this stuff on you every once in a while. Like when you write a song, you'll get lucky. It'll take me like 30 songs to write one good one. And also I'm like, why can't I do that all the time? Also I'm like going, that's it. And I'm like going, great. I think I got it. And I'm like, nope, didn't happen. But Crossbone Scully, it was one of those things. I wanted to have a name that had to do with poverty, pirates, Robin Hood. The way I've been living my life, it's people over profit. For me, it's always been that way. I've never been a guy who cares about money. I don't do this shit for money, and I put people first before money. That's always been my priority. And I'm a Crossbone Scully. I wanted to lyrically make it like an unanchored, unethical, lyrical record for right now, this time and age. You know what I mean? All the stuff that I grew up with, the shit I've been through, what's going on with the governments and the world and everything. Not that I'm into politics, because I think all politicians are crooks anyway. Mm-hmm. And I'm not left, I'm not right. I always tell everybody that I'm for what's right, because no one wants what's right, but I do. And a lot of the lyrics pertain to all that stuff. And I only got like, you know, High on You is the only song about like love, you know what I mean? Or Last Night on Earth. Those are the only love songs on the record. I'm not like a crooner. I can't write love songs, you know? I've never had a problem with love. So I'm like, I got problems, all these other problems, you know, world problems, you know what I mean? Like social problems, fucking currency problems. Like, how do we help this whole thing? And that's what a lot of it's about. And Crossbone Scully was a song by Aunt Molly Jackson in the 1920s, something like that. I was Googling songs about poverty and all this other stuff. And it came up as Crossbones Scully. Mm-hmm. And I saw that. I went, that might be a good name. Mm-hmm. And I wrote it down. And then Mark Wilkinson, who did all the artwork. And I don't know if anyone who knows Mark Wilkinson, who he is, he's like a legend in the art world. He does like all the Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, Marillion. Incredible. Like when that's why when you see the Crossbone Scully record, people go, it looks like Iron Maiden. Of course it does.
Yeah.
The guy who does Iron Maiden does it.
Captain Obvious.
You know what I mean? That's how I got the name. And then Mark suggested, let's take the S off, because, which I thought was great suggestion. Because he's like, Tommy, you need to get rid of the S because it's going to be confusing if it's Crossbones Scully. He's like, just make a Crossbone Scully. And I was like, oh yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
It was that easy.
And who would you say you work with him for the artwork, but who did you work with in the studio as well?
The greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my life, not only besides playing with Alice Cooper, I mean, meeting my wife and having a son. Those are the greatest things that's ever happened to me. But then the other things like Alice Cooper, Johnny Depp, Joe Perry, Bob Ezrin. The biggest one of all that I have to say would be Mutt Lang for me. And that's why when people say, sounds like Def Leppard, sounds like AC/DC, it does, because it's Mutt Lang. Yeah. God damn. You know, I'm like, to work with Mutt Lang for me, it's one of those things where I am so grateful. And I've learned so much about songwriting and arrangement. And all of a sudden, it's like it amazes me that he would take me under his wing. And I call that the universe and karma. And I can't explain it because I get emotional when I talk about that stuff.
You can. We love emotions. It's all good.
But he's changed my life. You know what I mean? I always tell everyone, I won. Mm-hmm. I don't have to sell a record right now. I don't give a shit if I sell a record or not. I swear to God, I won. I got to work with the greatest producer, songwriter who's ever lived. So to me, all this other stuff, it's all extra.
Aww.
Really is to me. It's like we make videos, like with the Crossbones Scully stuff, we have videos for every song because I wanted to have it visually where we find young talent. You know, that's the other thing too, finding kids on Instagram. Yeah. I found an amazing guitar player and this girl named Anna Cara in Newcastle, 19 years old. She was when I found her. She's incredible and I can't wait to unleash her on the world. And I always tell her, I said, Anna, if this gig lands you a bigger gig, I would be okay if you wanted to leave and go play with like someone, if Pink called any of these people. I was like, I'm okay with it. Because you know what? At least I know you are that good. You know, and I got this guy named Sam Bam Colton. He plays with, right now he plays with Dorothy and Fast Pussycat, you know, the young guy. And then I have Chris Wise on bass, who is like one of my dear friends, and he plays with the Vampires with me also. And he also subs in for Alice Cooper when Chuck can't play. And Glenn Sobel played all the drums on the record, but live, I've been using a bunch of different kids. Like sometimes I could use Tuesday, the girl drummer, when she's not working at the bank because she has a full-time job.
What you do, yeah.
And I can't say, quit your job. There's no job in Crossbones Scully yet. And then I got Alex Bach, the other guy, whoever can't make it. So it's like a revolving door with Scully. And I had this other kid, Noah, playing guitar. So it's like a revolving door. When you can make it, you come. If you can't, we'll have someone else sit in. Like Alice Cooper, you know what I mean? Yeah, he's so cool about all that. He tells us all, you got to do something. You know, we'll have someone come in, you come back, and that's what's great. And I've learned so much from Cooper, and I apply it to Crossbone Scully with all those things, you know?
So nice. Yeah, is it like when you're on social media and you find all these great talents, is it actually like I send you whatever I do, a cover of a song, and you'll be like, oh, that's pretty great. Like, do you want to work for me as in Crossbone Scully? Or it's like...
I'm always watching everyone. And the cool thing is when I see a video, I'll be like, I'll always give them a thumbs up. I'll be like, you're on the right track, man. Keep on going. Because I'm never going to say, oh, that sucked. It's like, no. Yeah. You don't do that shit, man. You encourage people. Even if it is bad, it's like, hopefully, you know, they'll practice and that's how you get better. I'll email them. I'll text. I'll send them a message too. Hey, man, great job on that. You could probably do this better over here. For instance, with Anna, I would watch her do these Gary Moore videos, Richie Blackmore, Jimmy Page, Tony Iommi. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching this girl in a bedroom and she ain't selling anything. This is what I loved about her. She wouldn't play a lick and then fucking do that Instagram pose where she's like, you know, and they do that look when I'm like, oh, why do they got to do that?
Yeah.
And this kid was just be like playing a guitar and just expressionless. And she had this mystique about her. I was like, oh, this kid, there's something cool about her. And I texted her and I said, hey, man, I was like, whatever you're doing, you're doing fucking some good shit over there. I don't know any. And I said, don't take this the wrong way. I don't know any 90-year-old female who's playing Gary Moore licks. I was like, you're playing like a 55-year-old man. I was like, does your dad have anything to do with this? Because I need to know this. And she wrote me back. She said, yeah, my dad tells me all of these guys. And I had a feeling. And her dad, ironically, is born on the same day I'm born and the same birthday, year, and everything. Yes.
Okay, that's creepy.
That is so cool.
Universe.
That is the universe. So that's what happened with Anna. And and then I said to her, I was like, keep on doing your videos. And as soon as I have something, I said, just be show ready. And she's like, what's show ready? And I was like, show ready is you need to be prepared if I call you up one day and not like, oh, I'm not ready yet. I got to dye my hair. I got to lose 10 pounds or a video, you know, because it's like show ready to me is like, I'm ready to go right now. I noticed stuff and I said, and I'll call you out of the blue one day and you got to be show ready. I don't know how long it took, but I remember calling up and going, you show ready? She's like, yeah. I was like, all right, you're going to be on a plane tomorrow. We're going to do a video. I pick her up at the airport, and the first thing we do is we walk into one of Johnny Depp's houses. His kid's never been out of Newcastle.
Yeah, just think what about you this. Do.
just think about it. His kid's never been out of Newcastle. I pick her up, and we walk into one of Johnny Depp's houses, the studio, and she's like, where are we? And I went, take a look around. She's like, really? Can I call me mom and dad? I was like, oh, yeah, you got to call them. You got to let them know you're here. You're safe, you know? And I had to call up the parents and everything, let them know I'm not some creep.
Yeah.
And it was really cool because I was talking to him for months. And then she played Johnny Depp's one of his really expensive guitars. You know, I gave her a guitar. Like, Johnny's like, brother, anything you want, give the kid whatever she wants, man. It's all yours. You're talking about a guitar that's like $150,000. I hand it to her. I go, here you go. You're playing Johnny Depp's guitar. I mean, dude, this doesn't happen.
That sounds like a dream come true for every fan and for every guitar player and for every artist.
Imagine that. Imagine that, Julie.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, that didn't happen for me. No. But I just think it's so cool that, you know, you could do that stuff. And Johnny is so... like, great. I'm grateful for his friendship because he lets me rehearse there. He lets me do everything I need to do there, you know? So, but that's a great Anna Cara story for you right there with Crossbones Scully. And then
love
we
it.
Did, you know, she's sleeping in one of the bedrooms. It was like, come on, man.
Sending selfies. I'm like, I'm right here.
It's cool. And it was Scully, the record. When I was doing, just to give you a backstory a little bit on it, so people know. When I get the comparisons of Bon Scott and Brian Johnson, and I welcome those all day long, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
I never get offended, but if you guys can really do the research, it's more Alex Harvey than anything. So my whole thing was, it's like when I was working, when I'd be sound checking with mm-hmm. the Vampires and Alice Cooper, me and Glenn would be playing AC/DC songs, and our lighting guys worked for AC/DC. So one of the guys just said to me one day, he's like, hey, Tommy, you fucking around up there, man? What are you doing up there? I go, what do you mean, man? He goes, you're missing it, man. I go, what? He goes, you should be doing that. And I was like, doing what? He's like, what you're doing right now. And I went, I did it like so long ago in the clubs, mm-hmm. you know, being in cover bands and stuff. And then I went home because we had a break, like a 5-day break. And I went home and I was like, well, he's fucking probably right. Let me just try this shit. So the first song I wrote was The Boom Went the Boom. And I remember writing the lyrics down. All right, this is cool. The boom went the boom. What are we talking about? All right, how politicians are all corrupt, how their lies are going to blow up in their faces, and how we need to fucking take back and let's blow this whole fucking motherfucker up. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is cool. And I wrote it. I sang it. And I was like, all right. Let me listen to Bon. I remember listening to Bon going, yeah, that needs more personality. And I remember sitting there, because my personality is more like Johnny Rotten, Bon Scott. it is. It's like more punk. Because I'm very, like, totally into... I love the Sex Pistols. I love Joe Strummer.
The Clash.
The Clash. I'm a huge Clash fan. Ramones. A lot of that stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, and Alice Cooper. So I was just like, I'm just going to be this guy all rolled into one, and Alex Harvey. And I said, that's what I want to be. And I was like, let me see if I could do it. And I started singing it. I was like, going, I like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's pretty cool. I like what he's saying, too. And
that's the best thing. Like, when you actually start being, like, super content with yourself, like, that's amazing.
You got to figure it out. It took me a lot of songs to figure out where I wanted to go with it. Because, like Alice says, Alice is the character. And that's really, Crossbones Scully is not the character. It's all the stuff that I love. And I was trying to figure out, how do I make it my own? And the great thing with Mutt Lange was, he said, I want to make this, and we're going to make it stand on your own. Because I have keyboards everywhere. I got all weird stuff. It sounds like Pink Floyd. I had this great guitar player, and Tommy Dinando, co-produced the record with me, played great guitar, co-wrote some of the songs, nothing but amazing stuff on there.
So you're happy?
Very happy. I'm very happy with the way it came out. I mean, Ole Romo, Mutt's engineer, mixed it. I think he's one of the best mixers out there. He's incredible. Howie Weinberg, great friend of mine, this guy sold, I don't know, 300 billion records, mastered it, and then forgot when I played it for him. He's like, this stuff sounds really good, John. This is great stuff. The guy who got me the record deal with Better Noise, Mike Polotnikov, engineer who engineered all the drums, I played it for him. He was like, what is this? And I said, oh, it's this thing. He's like, I want to play it. And next thing I know, that's when Alan Kovac called me up, said, I want to sign you a record deal. And that was it. That's how I'm here.
We love the universe. We love that you do this. We love that you're finally doing what you're supposed to be doing. Combine all the stuff you love.
Influences, yeah.
Influences, yeah. Mm-hmm. Views and whatever. And then, like, and getting the validation of people saying, that's great. Yeah. We should sign a record deal. And we're going to do this. We're going to put this on stage. Yeah. I hope it's made you feel just the way it should make you feel.
I feel like, grateful.
Yeah.
I feel grateful, and do anything great. It always takes a team of people. You can never feel, I did this, I did that. No, it don't work that way. You know, you got managers, you got band members, you got people play on the record, you got people mixing it, mutt, you know, engineers. It's so detailed. That's why when you hear something great, I love when people just say, it sucks. It's like, come on. It's a lot of work to make something sound good. And the cool thing about with the Crossbones Scully stuff, it's only like one guy writing the songs. It ain't like a team of like 20 people. It's one guy, two guys. That's it. There's no more than two people writing the song. Mm-hmm. Maybe three. And I like it that way because then it doesn't get... Because I don't like... When you're writing a song and I've been in those writing rooms and stuff, I can't stand it, man. It's just like, no. Because everyone's jockeying for position and percentages. It's not about, what are we saying here? What's the song? It's like, no, you don't know what I'm thinking. That's why when I love when people write lyrics for people, I go, all right, whatever, man. I couldn't sing that shit.
So you're happy with it, and we're happy that you're finally putting it out the end of October?
November 22nd.
November 22nd, perfect. When are you going to put it on stage, like actually?
November 21st, November 20th and 21st. That is our record release party at the Viper Room in Los Angeles, because I wanted to do it at the Viper Room where it all started for Johnny Depp. And I was like, this is a cool way to start it. Little club gig. We do both nights there. And it should be really cool. I'm looking forward to it. And then next year, we'll see what happens. See where the universe is going to point us next.
So who's coming to the Viper Room? Like, how big is the guest list?
Well, it all depends. It all depends on who's in town, you know? That's the thing. There might be an all-star jam. I don't know. It's like, you know these guys. They're all like, they don't plan anything. Johnny Time, I always say Johnny Time is like, doesn't exist. It's like, it's just time. Joe Time, Alice Time. Yeah. Alice Time, they're all on this timeline that there's no like, okay, if I'm lucky enough in the universe enough, those guys, if they're in town, of course they would come. You know what I mean? Are they going to be there? I don't know. Who knows? You know what I mean?
No, but I'm actually, because that's what I'm hoping for. It's like,
I'm hoping for that too.
Not like, I'm sorry, don't fuck Johnny Depp, but you know what I mean?
It's
like, as you're saying, like, it's like you're a fan and you love doing the art stuff, and it's a team effort or whatever. And that's what I'm hoping for, is that it's not just going to be another record release party, but there's actually people coming up on stage. Then we're texting you like, hey, I'm in town. Can I come out?
Exactly.
Okay, perfect. Grab your guitar.
And Julie, will happen when probably the day of the show.
Yeah.
Which is fine with me, because these, like I said, these guys, it's not real time, dude. It's like this other time where it's like, all right, yeah, I'll do this. You know what? I'm going to do this today. You know, I wish I had that time.
Yeah.
Hopefully everything goes off without a hitch, and you can only hope for the best, and people show up and we have a good time, you know?
You're on tour with Alice right now, but we want to see Crossbones Scully in Germany too.
Yeah,
who are we going to call so that we make it happen?
I'm actually working on that right now. I haven't been shot down yet, so
nice.
It's pretty good. There's a couple things that are in play right now. Like I said, I'm not going to say anything yet until I know, because I don't like doing that stuff. Or are you sure this one? It's not yet, but there's a couple things in play that look pretty positive. And the record, and I'm looking forward just to getting the record out so everyone can hear the whole thing.
Yeah.
Where they go, so it really isn't an AC/DC record. No, it's not. It's a weird record. You know, there's like some songs on there that you go, when I said to Mutt Lange, I'm doing a song with no drums. He's like, really?
Cool.
I was like, yeah. He's like, all right, let me hear it. And you know what? He added a hi-hat. That's it. There's only a hi-hat. It's a bass drone, and it's me talking about going down into hell and eating the devil.
Nice, yeah.
And if God gets in my way, I'm going to burn heaven down also, because I am the wolf. And that's what the song I Am the Wolf is about. It's about going down to hell and eating the devil, eating all of him up and all of everyone else's sins. And the sin eater, when you hear that song, dude, that's Scully coming back to earth and eating up all the sins.
Nice.
Yeah.
You sound like the kind of guy who would watch like stuff like Resident Alien with me and Supernatural.
Are you kidding me?
Shit.
I love that show.
Yes!
That's why I was looking at that. Dude, I was doing, when I saw that show, I was like going, oh my God, that's my script. He's going to kill everyone. And there's part of him that he's ugly, but he likes to get, you know, like with Scully, like Alice Cooper had so much to do with the story where he's like, Scully's got to be a character where he's ugly, but chicks love him. They want to have sex with him, and he wants a party. He's a shapeshifter. We don't know what he is. We don't know if he wants to kill everyone. We don't know if he's trying to come back and warn us of things to come. And that's what the whole movie was about, the animated movie that we did also, where Johnny Depp, Alice Cooper, Joe Perry, Nikki Sixx, Mark Wilkinson, Cheryl Cooper, Kane Roberts, and who else was that? My wife and my son did the voices in there. So that's what the whole thing one is about, how he comes back to Earth and Scully thinking that he's the chosen one. But he meets this woman named Piper, who I wanted to, if I ever had a girl baby, I wanted to call Piper. Yeah. I said, he meets Piper one night and he shapeshifts into something and he wants to, you know, wants to get laid.
Yeah.
So they hang out, they have a good time, and she gets pregnant. And he hands her a lock and he says, here's this key and lock. If anything ever happens to you where you're in dire need, insert the key to the lock and I will come back and save you. She's dying. The world's gone to shit. She puts the key inside the lock. Scully comes back to Earth. Little does he know he's got a kid named Kid, because I wanted to call my son Finn Kid, K-Y-D. But my wife, being Swiss German, like, no, Kich, I, you know, I was like, all right, whatever. So we went with Finn. So anyway, so what happened with Kid, Scully comes back, and he's in shape-shifting, but the kid could see who he is. And that's the whole thing. He's like, who is that? And he sees Scully. He's like, you're ugly, and all of a sudden, and Scully's like, he's like, are you my dad's guy? I got no, you know, all this. So that's the whole idea where the kid comes back, Scully sees him, and Scully at the end gets killed.
Spoiler alert.
Because Johnny Depp, the sorcerer, kills him with Bloodwing, who Mark Wilkinson is, Sir Bloodwing. And Scully dies at the end. Piper dies. They all die. But Kid rises through the ashes and this film of hate over the world, and he lifts it and he says, I know my destiny. And Scully wakes up and he's like, he's the chosen one. You know what I mean? So it's stuff like that. I love stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to do a thing where I could have it where each week I could have different villains be rock stars and different allies. Like all of a sudden one week we could have Marilyn Manson be the sorcerer's other apprentice or something like that. He's another goon villain. Then I could have Alice Cooper, who is, what do we call him again? We call him, it's been so long since we've come up with this stuff. I haven't talked about it in so long. So, but anyway, it's a really cool story, and I'm trying to keep on going with it, but it costs a lot of money to do animation, and it takes a long time. And the kid who did it, this kid Riley Donahue, who I found online, on YouTube, and now he's like this big animator now. He did this video, and all of a sudden, next thing, this kid just blew up, and now he's this huge animator.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to new stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to do a Resident Alien.
I would love to do music for shows like that. But
did you ever do soundtrack?
I just did the soundtrack because we have a Hollywood vampire movie coming out next year, which is a documentary and a live show and a movie, and I mixed that, and I also did all the soundtrack to it, you know what I mean? All the music, which came out really cool. Did a lot of that stuff with my really good friend, this guy named Jamie Holbrack, who's a genius, and we had such a fun time doing it. And I've been looking at the stuff, and I can't wait for people to see this movie, because it's just so, you're going to want to watch it because it tells you everything. It's also live stuff where you go in and out, where it's like you see a live song, then you go a story, you see Johnny talk, Joe talks, Alice talks, I talk, then you have all these other huge superstars talking throughout the film. You know, it's incredible. And if it doesn't move someone, I'll be shocked, because I watched it. I actually cry in it.
Oh.
I said to him, I was like, God, man, I don't want to do that. But it's just real stuff. You know what I mean?
That's how I felt when I watched the Foo Fighters documentary.
Yeah. I got to tell you one other thing. When I watched the Rock, because I was watching documentaries when we were putting this together, and going in and watching Robbie Williams, I was like, ah, man. I didn't know David Beckham went through. All of a sudden, I'm like, you find this new appreciation when you go, man, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And then I'm watching Robbie Williams, I'm going, all right, I understand why he is like he is right now. And I walked away with it going, I liked it. And I wanted to hate it.
don't hate on him. He's cool.
I do. No, I did. Because I always thought he was kind of like very English and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, but I walked away and I went, you know what? I really enjoyed it. And I had such newfound respect for him, you know?
Yeah, he's actually doing like art as well because I went to Barcelona last summer.
Yeah.
He's been painting stuff about his depression and he's been putting this in the MoCo Museum in Barcelona, which I loved. Like, it's really
incredible.
Good. Yeah. So, artists, we do love it, and we're looking forward to the documentary and to the Crossbone Scully record and
Evil
to the
World
Crossbone
Machine.
Evil World
That's
Machine
the
on the 22nd of November.
Yes,
and then you're gonna play Germany. One last question is because obviously you, with Hollywood Vampires and Alice Cooper, you're playing like these huge shows. I'm pretty sure with Crossbone Scully, it's gonna be like back to the roots, like you know, it's like little club shows.
That. Yeah,
and you love it.
No problem with me, man. You got to start at the bottom to get to the top. Like AC/DC, Bon Scott's a long way to the top. If you want to rock and roll, I have no problem with that. It's just about like just connecting with the people. Hopefully, people like the music. You know, they can make fun of me all the time on YouTube, which they do. I love when I get Ben Stiller with a wig. I'm like,
what?
I get that all the time.
Oh, my God.
Ben Stiller with a wig. Zoolander. I'm like, so what? What, you don't like Blue Steel? I'll give you Blue Steel right now, Julie. It's my real hair. Yeah, that's another thing. Yeah, sometimes it does look like a wig. I'll tell you that. Sometimes I look at these comments and I start laughing because I can't disagree with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The only thing I don't like is when people just attack shit.
Nah.
You know what I mean? Where they got to attack stuff. Why? Mm-hmm. If you don't like it, it's cool. Like if someone says AC/DC clone, I go, cool.
Okay.
I take that as a compliment. Yeah. I don't know many bands that sound like AC/DC except for like Airborne right now. I don't know who else is out there that sound. There's a bunch of bands that have that AC/DC vibe.
Yeah.
But Airborne, they've been around for a while, so they get a pass right now. Me, you know, you can crucify me all you want. I don't care. Because you know what? At the end of the day, as long as I love what I'm doing and people dig it, cool. Some people don't dig it. That's cool, too. Like Paul Stanley said, hey, listen, if you love Kiss, that's great. If you hate Kiss, that's great, too. But if you're in the middle, get out.
Have you ever considered doing voiceover stuff, like imitation stuff?
Oh,
because you've been doing like, this is an amazing
bunch,
Paul Stanley.
I could do a bunch.
Yeah. Okay, more.
Let's see. Gene Simmons is another good one, dude.
Oh, my God.
That's
Gene Simmons
story.
Once, I had an interview with Gene Simmons once, and he told me I got to touch his legs
I am the demon. I got to figure out when Gene, when he's like, listen, this is a deal that is more than fair for you right here. You know, I am legendary Gene Simmons of Kiss. And I'm like, okay. All right, great, man. But, you know, it's like, but I love, Paul Stanley is my favorite of all. Ace Frehley is another one of those guys. As soon as I get around him, I could do it. Like Johnny, when I'm around him, I could do Johnny Depp really well too. But I just got to hear it all the time when I'm around it. You just pick up on it because they have these things that it's just, you know, it's just really amazing. You know, the other thing too, love, if I put on my English accent, you know, and I kind of talk a little more proper, and I could sound like Justin Hawkins from, you know, but he's very elegant, Justin. Like everything that comes out of his mouth, I go, God damn, he's so pretty. He sounds so good. He's so elegant. His words, I'm like going, God damn, I wish I had a vocabulary like that.
Yeah.
I can't. You know what I mean? My vocabulary is not expensive. It's very low budget.
Working class.
It is. But man, I hear Justin Hawkins, I'm like, God damn, no wonder why that thing's so huge. Because he talks, when I could listen to that guy talk all day long. You know what I mean? His voice, not only is he a rock star, is he good looking, he's a great guitar player, he sings great. I'm like, God damn, God loves him too. You know, and then you hear me talk, you're like, oh, listen to this guy.
Yeah, you know, working class, low budget.
I am. Working class, low budget, New Yorker. I come
New
from
Yorker.
The streets.
They're from the
construction
streets.
Construction worker,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's me. I am, not to use John Lennon's words, but I am a working class unhero.
Unhero. That's nice, actually.
You know? Yeah.
Like, you should write a song that's called, like, a working class.
I got something like that already, too.
See?
Yes.
See, that's great. We're working out songs here right here.
Do I got to give you, like, 50%? I mean, because
no,
I give everyone else, I give everyone else half the fucking song.
And
I'll give you half
don't.
The song too.
No.
If
no.
you just come up with a word, I'll give you half.
Just,
I've done it
I'm
before.
Just, no, I'm just a fan and I love your stuff and I love the things you do and I mean, if I inspire you to write a song called Working Class Unhero, I'll take it. That's exactly all I need. That's all I need.
Yeah. We'll Robbie. Give you songwriting credit. Don't worry about it. I gave it to everyone else. I'll give it to Julie.
The credits, like the thank you note and okay. the record, you know,
no
like, okay,
done.
I'm going to take this. Great. Okay, done deal.
Is this going out for Germany or where yeah. is it? All right, so alles klar, mit Deutsch ist nicht gut. I love you guys.
Aww. But you've been living in Switzerland.
Switzerland for yeah. about 14 years now.
Yeah.
Just me, Deutsch is nicht gut. And it's just one of those languages where it's like they're singing. It's really a happy language. Every time I hear the language, I go, man, they sound so happy. I love it.
Really? Okay.
It's the Germans are more like das verboten. Like Swiss people are like das verboten don't da papi. So it's more like a sing songy, yeah. you know, like you know, and German is more like you know.
Yeah, we've got a history, what can I say?
Well, you know what? And I love it. Because a lot of my friends are German, and I try and tell everyone in the States, I go, listen, man. I go, one thing about German people, Swiss people are very easygoing. German people are to the fucking point. They don't bullshit around. From my experience, the people I work with, they're like, they'll tell you right up, I could do this for you, I can't do this for you. There's no bullshit. They call you back. They don't leave you hanging. They answer your text, you know, and I respect that. Because I do that with everyone. I'll get back to everyone. Yeah. Even when I don't want to get back to you, I'll still get back to you.
Committed. Yeah.
No, I don't want to leave anybody hanging, man. It's like, that's not cool.
That's sorted. We're looking forward to seeing you in Germany. Have lots of fun with Alice. And I'm very excited to hear the whole Crossbone Scully record.
Yeah, danke schön. It is a great body of work. I'm not just saying that. It is. It's incredible. And that I got to work with Mutt Lange is all I got to say. I owe everything to Mutt Lange. I do.
Whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Subscribe to our channel for more rockin' podcasts.